This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today will be my third session on submission, and today I'll be speaking on submission for leaders. Submission for leaders. Seems when we talk about submission, so people basically assume that it doesn't really affect them. I've gotten one or two feedbacks since I started teaching about submission. And it seems to me that while some want or desire that people be submitted to them, they assume that their duty, according to scriptures in the book of Ephesians, was for them to love, so that they do not submit. And I'm talking particularly to the men and some women who are alpha in their thinking. If you study the scriptures very well, you will notice that Jesus was an epitome of submission. The Bible said he submitted himself even to earthly authorities, to the leadership of his parents. He demonstrated the submission to the divine plan of God so that it didn't deviate from it. One of the things submission does is that it teaches character. It helps to build your character as a person. It also helps to build your ability to lead. Because if people are going to follow your examples as you lead, then they are most likely going to behave like you because that is what you are showing them. So if a husband, for example, is not submitted to God, but is demanding that the wife should submit to him, the wife will be bereft of a good example to copy submission from. You see, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. That was the vow Ruth made to Naomi. And she then had to learn the way of the people of Naomi. And she also had to learn the ways of the God of Naomi. So she followed Naomi to Israel, and she began to see her as an example, so that everything Naomi told her to do, she did because she had submitted to Naomi. And that was how she was able to solve the problem the two of them found themselves in, which was a problem that had to do with getting a kinsman redeemer and having a child that will continue the lineage of her husband. When you marry a wife, she's going to have to learn the way of your God. Then she will have to learn the way of your people. And if you are not somebody who is a submitted husband, who is submitted to God, what example are you going to show her? So, when you demand of someone something that you don't do, it's hypocritical. If I don't show my children how to ride a bicycle, but I woke up one day and I said, "Oh, you are old enough now. Start riding." They might get it on their own, but they will go through a lot of scrapes and a lot of injuries. Apart from that, the moment of bonding that was supposed to be shared between a father and his children, as he teaches them how to master new skills, will be lost forever. So therefore, they wouldn't be able to say, "My father can't do this. He taught me this. Therefore, I know what he would do in this situation." When men do not submit to God and they demand submission from their wives, they are just being hypocritical. They will never get it. The assumption that it is only in a traditional marriage setting that submission works is absolutely false. I've taught her that submission is not domineering or turning the wife into a subservient or a servant or a slave. Submission is wisdom, understanding, knowledge. I give the examples of Daniel, of Joseph, of the three Hebrews, of Mordecai, of Esther, of Ruth. People who submitted but led through submission. There are those who didn't, like Haman, who felt that because they had a good relationship with the king and they are rich, they could use that to pseudo rule. Pseudo rule means becoming a puppeteer while you turn the person with the real power to your puppet. And so, because you have influence of somebody that has real power, rather than submit to the person so that the person can lead, you assume the position of a leader and you are now the one that is indirectly ruling the king or ruling the leader because you have influence. You assume that she is my husband. I know how to get him. When I cook this meal for him, after that, and I show him certain signs, if I tell him to give me his father's head, he will give it to me. That is pseudo ruling. That is not the job of submission. That is the job of somebody pretending to submit, knowing that he or she has the key to the heart of the person who has the real power, who will then do his will or her will. And we see a lot of that nowadays. Queens pretending to be pawns until the sudden change comes, and then you realize that, hey, this thing was just a garb, it wasn't real. As a man, as a leader, you must teach by example. Teaching by example means not pretending to love the Lord, but truly loving the Lord. Not pretending to serve the Lord, but truly serving the Lord. Not pretending to bow and give everything to your God, but truly giving everything to your God. If a leader shows the right example to his followers will turn it into a culture. Many of us would remember the Rechabites. The man who told his children not to build houses didn't himself build a house. Not because he lacked the means, but because he wanted to establish a norm, a tradition that will last from generation to generation. As I teach about submission, and the more I read about it and reflect on it, looking at various leaders from scripture, those who did well, those who didn't do too well, those who are pretending until they could hold on to power and then show their true color, I came to one conclusion. Submission is not weakness. Submission is strength. The book of Philippians said that Jesus submitted. He submitted to God's master plan to the point of death on the cross, and therefore has God highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Stooping to conquer is not foolishness. It is wisdom. So, but I'm employing all leaders, my brothers who are leaders of homes, and my brothers and sisters who are leaders in their various offices on the call today. Lead by example. Even though you might say, I work in a corporate place, there's no room for God here. They don't allow us to do anything religious in my space. You are still a Christian. You are not even supposed to do religion. But people should be able to say, that is a God-fearing man. I remember I had a neighbor once. He's now the managing director, the founder of his own microfinance bank. When this man was working under another leader in the microfinance bank in Lagos, we were having a discussion one day and he said, do you know why I want to start my own microfinance bank? I said, why? He said, the man I'm working for. He said, the man is so disciplined, so humble, that our office has crossed the first 1 billion naira in assets and the first 1 billion naira in liquid, in cash. And my boss is still driving his old car. Still, you will not even see the difference between when we started the company, when we were just five. And now that we have over 300 staff members, you will not see him. He has never seen any man that is so disciplined when it comes to handling money before in his life. And he said, I've learned a lot from him. And because of that, I'm going to start my own microfinance bank. And I'm going to do it the way he has done it. Now, many of you may not know the bank. I don't want to advertise them, but this seems to be one of the most successful microfinance banks in Lagos at the moment. And this man, based on that, went to his church and to people, pitched, raised the fund, and started his own microfinance bank. 4 or 5 years after he started, we met at a function. Believe me, he still has humble because he saw somebody else go through that route to build a very formidable bank. He also began to deploy the same strategy, and it is working for him. Submission is not weakness. When a Christian goes into an office, and many of us use the term humility. They say, oh, the man is very humble. When you hear that a Christian is humble, basically means that Christian is showing all the attributes of somebody who has submitted to God, Humility is the outward expression of submission. Humility is the outward expression of submission. A man who is living a life of submission to God is going to be humble on the outside. Humility is not putting your hand behind your back and nodding your head like a gamma lizard. It is not pretending that you don't talk or keeping quiet while you are raging on the inside. Humility is the calm that you feel. That restrained power that you feel because God is your restrainer. Humility does not make you weak. Submission does not make you weak. People who try to take advantage of men or women who are submitted to God, they learn hard that submission is not weakness. Look at Joseph. The way he dealt with his brothers when they came to Egypt, does that seem to you like a weakening? The way he locked up his brothers, put his golden cup into somebody's sack, tested them over and over, does that seem to you like someone that is weak? Was not weakness. The way Jesus Christ dealt with those demons and spirits and those who came to question him, does that sound to you like someone that is weak? No. He exhibited wisdom, knowledge, understanding. That is not weakness. That is strength. The true strength of leadership does not lie in baring our fangs and opening our claws and threats and screaming and shouting. The true strength lies in the fact that people know you have the ability to do and undo. They know it. And yet, they couldn't see the justification or the reason for it because you never showed that side of you. It doesn't mean that if you have to, you wouldn't, but it is not the predominant. It is not the obvious side of you. When people have to use force to subjugate others or to command people's obedience or attention or love or admonition or reverence, when you have to do it by force, that is not submission. That will really breed fear and all forms of suspicion all around you. Fear has a way of making people behave irrationally. A good leader does not want to have fearful subjects. I remember a Latin saying that says that if they would not love me, they will fear me. Which shows that those who are deprived of love would often want to take leadership by fear. And it is important that you know that when you begin to breed fear as a leader, then you can no longer trust the disposition of those you lead. When you lead people by fear, people resist. Fear would provoke people to fight back, to develop a shield for their own protection, for their own sanity. Nobody wants to live under the glare or the perpetual fear of another. So it is important that you think or rethink your strategy of leading. Then you look at it as a husband. How am I leading my home? Can my children approach me and speak with me? Can my wife talk to me without her heart skipping a beat? Have I handled myself in such a way that we can have an open discussion and I will not feel disrespected? Or am I egoistical to the point where every little discussion or any form of disagreement, even when I'm wrong, I insist that my word must be law? If a man will lead his house, showing the example of submission, his children will learn. His wife also will learn from him that submission is not weakness, that submission is strength. All of us here deliberately chose to submit to the Holy Spirit and his leadership. I know Christians who are not submitted to the Holy Spirit. I even know some who, when the way they speak, you would think it is the Holy Spirit that is submitted to them. They are leading the Spirit, commanding the Spirit, instructing the Spirit. They don't take any instruction from the Holy Spirit. They are not led by the Spirit. They assume that because they are pastors or leaders in the church, that therefore the Holy Spirit serves them. I've seen their ministries burn up in flame, go into tatters, because nobody leads the Spirit. If you do not submit to the leadership of the Spirit, it will be your own undoing. So submission is a must for every Christian, because it is the basic thing that we did the day we gave our life to Christ. Don't forget that the day you gave your life to Christ, you made a vow, or you made a promise, or you swore an allegiance. You said, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to become my Lord and my Savior." You see, the word Lord there means that he has become your head, and you are the one that is submitted to him. You said it before the Holy Spirit came into your heart. You said it after Jesus came into your heart. He has become your Lord, which means you are submitted to him. He has become your protector, and you has become his servant. You now dwell in his vineyard. You dwell as a member of the sheep of his pasture. So submission is for every believer in the setting of our faith, in the setting of our home, and in the setting of our offices or our workplaces or our businesses, where we lead. Therefore, we must lead as Christ led. Where you are high-handed, or where you have been high-handed, you should take a chill pill, like one of my friends would say. You should sit down and say, "Hey, I think I'm being excessively high-handed here. This does not help me. Does not help me in any way." It changes the disposition of people towards me. Does not allow me to have an open and transparent discussion or relationship with people as I desire. And therefore, you have to rethink your strategy, your approach to leadership. The same thing in a marriage. It is true that the husband is the head. Being the head means obeying a particular law that came with headship. He said, "Husbands, love your wife." He said, "It is not a suggestion, it is a commandment," which means the head is commanded to love. Not told to reciprocate love. Not told to look for mutual feelings and affection. The duty of the head in a family setting is, in my opinion, okay. Let me not say my opinion. Because when I say my opinion, if I see myself, I'm like, oh, but I'm not. Let me say it as it is. It is a bit difficult. A bit. Because we know how love is. That there are people that you love that don't love you back. There are people that you love that can pretend to love you. There are people that you are with that you don't feel anything for, not a shred of emotion, not to talk of love. However, the Bible says, once you are the head of that union, it's a compulsory, it is a must for you to love. Between loving somebody by force and submitting to somebody willfully, you will see that one is more difficult than the other. Imagine Jacob forced to love Leah. I woke up this morning as I was praying. It was the first thought that came to mind. I could imagine the torture of it. He couldn't bring himself to love that woman. Till that woman died, he couldn't bring himself to love her. And you will see how it showed in the behavior of that woman's children towards him. Because they realized that he didn't love their mother, the children of Leah were bloodthirsty, arrogant, priggish, uncaring children. It's all in your Bible. Because he didn't show their mother love, the children responded to their father with rebellion. The children of Jacob gave him so much pain. They made him age so early because he couldn't love their mother. I say to you, look at those examples. If he had loved Leah, the children would have turned out better. So the instruction to love can only be obeyed in submission. You will say, God told me to love, therefore I love. And if you begin to show that example, the wife or the subordinates in the office, they will see that this person loves us, even though we don't deserve it. And they will then respond. And other staff members will respond, and the children will respond by also submitting, because you submitted by loving. If you take away your own aspect of it, and you refuse to love as instructed, you are not going to get the right kind of submission. You are going to have all forms of disjointed and incoherent relationships, full of pretenses, hypocrisy, and unnecessary anguish for your soul. I think it will be wise to avoid this. So again, I speak to you as leaders and as men. Submit to God. Let your submission be seen by all those that are in your sphere of influence. Let them be able to say, my daddy is a Christian. My mommy, my husband is the spiritual head of the home. He submitted to God. He obeys God. He leads the home. And do it not just in a religious sense, when you do it at the prayer in the morning, but your behavior doesn't show it. Let it be a consistent theme in all your behavioral patterns. And then you will see that those that you are supposed to lead would equally respond in kind, and that loop will be closed. It is my prayer for you that in this season that God has given us, a season of great blessing and abundance, as things begins to improve for you on every side, as a man and as a leader, as a woman and as a leader, as a mother and as a leader, that you would understand the strength that is in submission, and you'll be able to harness the power that comes with it for the benefit of your family, for the benefit of yourself, and for your walk with God. I declare that it is well with you, and that the hand of God is perpetually upon you. Thank you, Father, for your word this year, and amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.